Father, I just ask you, Lord, that this morning you would be honored and glorified. And Lord, I'm grateful for the warm reception, but the truth of the matter is, Jesus, never to this depth before in my life have I been more sensitive to the fact it is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Father, you are it. You are everything. And Lord, we just pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would teach us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And again, God's people said, amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And the message is really going to be something that I'm going to speak to you as though it's coming from my diary. The thoughts that I've written down are entries into the events of these last several weeks, if not months, if not the last 2 years. And Joshua chapter 1. I got to tell you that after Easter Sunday morning, if you were here for Easter Sunday morning, it was an amazing day, and it was a tremendous Passion Week that God had given us. But on Easter Sunday after fourth service, I drove home, and I knew something was going on because I had gotten home to my driveway. I couldn't figure out how I got home. I couldn't remember how I got home. I couldn't, it was a blur to me. I immediately thanked God for getting me through the day, but then later on, a few hours into resurrection morning, celebrations by resurrection evening, I completely felt a detachment from my brain to my body. Nothing felt normal. I couldn't feel things. I couldn't process things. There was just this shutdown. And that was the start of what I believe is a tearing down and a rebuilding. And maybe in your life, God is tearing down. There's things that you don't understand going on in your life. You've got 1,000 questions and seemingly no answers. What's going on? Why is this happening? And not so much as God, why, but it's this. It's God, why, meaning I'd like to know because I want to cooperate with you in what's happening. I don't want to resist you, God. In fact, I want more of you in this situation. I need to see more of you. I need to hear more from you. I want to cooperate with you. But God, I've got 1,000 questions. I'm not doubting you, and I'm not doubting anything else, but Lord, show me you in this. And maybe you're going through that thing in life. I guarantee you, if you're a Christian today, the greatest desire that you have in your life is not to be delivered from the trauma, not to be delivered from the issue or the suffering. It's God, show me in this, because church, in all of our lives, suffering is going to happen. But for the Christian life, when God says, I got your hand, I got you in this. Oh my goodness, then bring on the battle, you know? I told my wife recently, I said, you know what? I don't care if what I'm going through is from heaven or from hell. As long as God is smiling upon me right now, I'm good with it. She goes, what do you mean? I go, I don't care if Satan's beating me up. If Satan's beating me up and I can see God's smile, then Satan beat me up. You know what I'm talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, I pray you will know what I'm talking about. Because in that, as we'll see this morning, is true Christian growth. Joshua chapter 1, follow along with me if you would. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. You ought to circle those three words. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. And you and all this people to the land which I'm giving you, to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it to you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness unto this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river of the sun, or he's talking about the Euphrates, excuse me, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun or into the west, shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Mark those words down. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper, here it is, wherever you go. This book of the law, that is the first five books of the Bible, that's all they had at that time, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For listen to the reason why. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Look at verse 10, because I'm going to end it abruptly. Verse 10, so some Bibles read, or then some Bibles read, Joshua, and I stop with that. From verse 10 onward, Joshua's commission becomes a reality. God calls him into the work that he has given him to do. And all along the way, you're going to read, if you read the book of Joshua, God is telling Joshua, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'm with you. Church, you know long enough by now as being a Christian that whenever God repeats something to you or to me or to Joshua or anybody else over and over again, it means that we need that kind of strengthening. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Be of good courage. And I've concluded this in my time studying Joshua. And I have to tell you, I don't know why I went to Joshua. I just felt strong that God would have me to go to the book of Joshua. And all along the way, God had been saying to me, be strong and of good courage. Church, 24 months of insomnia is a weird thing. Number one, when it started out, I just noticed my disciplines had been broken up. For years as a Christian, 40 years, I've had a discipline. I would go to bed at a certain time. I would wake up at a certain time. I never needed an alarm clock. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm up. There's nothing noble about it. It's just the way that I was programmed. At 4, I'm up, and I was with God every day from 4 to 7 o'clock in the morning, and that was my life. And then sleep began to be disrupted, and I began to be tired at 4 o'clock, and it was hard for me. And lo and behold, and slowly, things began to change. And listen, as much as this sounds brutal, it's not. I'm telling you, when God speaks to you in your situation, it's always rooted and based in love. When God says, listen, no excuses, Jack. You and I used to date each other at 4 o'clock. I need to date you at 4 o'clock. I'll meet you at 4 o'clock. And I couldn't get my body out of bed the next day. And the next word I heard from the Lord was, hey, we have a date tomorrow, 4 o'clock. And you know what? God in his love says, I don't care how tired you are, I want to meet with you. You might say, well, but the Bible says the Lord gives his beloved sleep. And the Bible also says that Paul often spent seasons of sleeplessness. Did you know that? I got every card and letter from so many people. Pastor Jack, don't you know the Bible says God gives his beloved sleep? Amen, hallelujah, I'm all for it. But there's a season in your life. It may not be sleeplessness, but it may be cancer. It may be emotional issues. It may be financial issues that God is leading you through. Not to discipline you. Not to scare you. Not to destroy you. But to teach in you that there is no courage outside of Christ. There is no power outside of Jesus. Our question and challenge today for us is, how do we learn how to take that and grab hold of that courage and apply it to our lives? The psalmist writes, David wrote in Psalm 119. There's no notes today. I'm making this up as I go. So don't even look to the screens. You're going to have to be quick. You got to write these down. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 5. He said, through your precepts, God's instruction, I have understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word, that is the Bible, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is spoken by a man who knew about suffering. That the Word of God is our comfort. The Word of God is our assurance. What God says is true. Church, when you read it, you cannot cherry pick God's truth from the Bible. You can't pull it out and say, well, I believe this part, but I don't believe the other. God's Word is in totality for a reason. To meet all humanity where they're at. But are you his child today? If you today can say, I'm a child of God, listen, I don't even care how weak your utterance is this morning. When you say today, man, Pastor Jack, I think I'm a child of God. I mean, I love him, but I just fail. I'm not talking about your inconsistencies and failures. I'm talking about, listen, do you desire to be a child of the living God? Do you understand that Jesus Christ is the reason for living? That he's everything. That after the doctors and after the friends and cards and letters say all that they say, at the end of the day, you land with Jesus. That great dependence can only come through suffering. When the questions arise, and they will arise, is this the end for me? Will it lead to these other things? Listen, never go online to find out what you're ailing from. Now, it may or may not be true, but I don't want it to be true because I went online and I saw the results of and the end of insomnia. It's not just not being able to sleep at night. There's all of these problems that come from it. Your immune system's devastated. You have no memory. It's gone. All this stuff goes. Your brain is shrinking because of the lack of the... That's great. My brain is shrinking. In front of you, my brain is shrinking right now. All of these things. And you read all that stuff and it's just like, is there hope for me? Aren't you glad that God never reads the web? He never goes online to find out what he should do next, and nor should you and I. God's goodness is there for us. Now look, this is for us. I feel embarrassing giving you this verse because it's like, Jack, are you comparing yourself to Paul? No, I am not. But I'm encouraged by Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. Listen to this. Paul says, because he was challenged by his ministry, there were those saying, you're not an apostle, you're a loser, you're just nobody. And Paul says, am I a minister of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. How did he qualify his ministry? He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes, that's beating, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 lashes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, and night and day I have been in the deep. Can you imagine bobbing around in the ocean because of a shipwreck, terrified out there in that black Mediterranean? In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, and in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all these other things, listen to what he says, what comes upon me daily because of my deep concern for the churches. Paul the Apostle. In the midst of all of it, church, listen, what you're going through is not that God has abandoned you. Are you willing, as a Christian, to let God say to you, I'm going to put you through something. And if you cooperate, Jack, you will come out better on the other end of it if you just let me be Lord in this and through this. Just let go. Just let go. I'll do that. And I want you to be able to hear this in the right way. I have found out that in all of my doing and all of my going, there was a sense of real joy in that. Being fruitful, I would say, and doing what God has opened the door to do. And all that is fine, but let me tell you something. I believe what God has been sharing with me since I've been on my back could have never been read in a book or preached in a sermon or received at a conference. It had to be personal. Why are you and I going through personal struggles? Because God is doing a work that cannot come to you and I in any other way. It's not in a pill. It's not in some program. Christian, I speak to you today. God is doing a work in your life, and I know, listen, you know what we struggle with? Our emotions start to invade the work of God. God goes to work. Can you imagine? He rolls up his sleeves and he gets his gloves on and he's working in your life. And I know it hurts. We all know it hurts. He's moving this around and he's changing that. And then all of a sudden, listen, while he's doing his amazing, wonderful work, because faith says from the Word of God, he loves me. He's doing a work. Even this is going to turn out for the good of God and for the betterment of me. So the Bible says. And then our emotions come in. And we begin to second guess God. Hath God said, was the famous words of Satan, to appeal to the emotions. Immediately, emotions will rise up and cast a cloud, as it were, over the doctrine of God, over the Word of God. And then we start thinking things like this. Listen, it comes out like this. Why? But God? And where are you in this? I know this might sound something that pastors are supposed to say, but I mean it. When we come to that point of wondering where God is and all of this stuff, I believe right then in that moment, and when we come to that question of God, are you here? Oh, I believe he's more here than he could have ever been at any other time. Church, this morning you and I need to decide as Joshua had to decide. I've been commissioned to go forward, so have all of you. Joshua took up arms and he got ready to cross over the Jordan. The great separation. Listen, prior to crossing the Jordan, do you know how the children of Israel were fed? God fed them every day for 40 years. Did you know that? Did you know that prior to crossing over the Jordan River, God was defending them and fighting all of their battles? Did you know that? God did it all for them on that side of the Jordan. And then God says, all right, Moses is dead. Joshua, you're the man. Cross over. I'll give you the details in the next page or the next chapter. Here's how it goes. And apparently from the Bible, Joshua got the command. And more than a few times, God has to say to him, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. If you're a Bible student, you know what that means. It means that Joshua did not have any courage and he had become afraid. When God speaks to you, listen, church, when God speaks to you, it is that quiet voice. And that voice is the Word of God. And God will say this. Listen, you will, church, listen, you will have as much of God speaking to you in your life to the degree of how much Bible you have hidden in your heart. Look, I love you guys, but I got to tell you, if you're a casual Christian, you never hear God speak. Or you hardly ever hear God speak. How do you survive? How do you survive? Because you know what? When he speaks through his word. You see, our emotions are not satisfied with the word. Our emotions want the ground to shake. We want to hear a rumbling through the sky. We just read it recently this week in our daily Bible reading that the voice was spoken, God was speaking, and there were those that were around and thought that, you know, there had been an earthquake. We relate to earthquakes. We relate to big sounds and big noises. I want to see something big. Oh, I want God to do this. Wait a minute. He's the Lord. We're not. And God is speaking in our sufferings. And listen, I've concluded this, that the suffering, you'll either come out of that suffering saying, I don't think God spoke to me at all. Or, listen, or you'll come through that suffering and you'll have a greater appreciation for God's word because that's how he spoke to you. Thirdly, is what I want to say went through, I'm going through. Are you ready for thirdly? Thirdly shocked me. Thirdly was this. Lord, I get up to read my Bible, my eyes hurt so bad, and I'm so fatigued, I can't go to sleep, but I can't read your word. My eyes are killing me. And then I'm so nauseous from having been up at one point 70 hours without being unable to go to sleep. I can't function. But God, I want to draw near to you. God, speak to me. Have you ever been there? God, talk to me. Somebody say yes. Just lie to me. Make me feel like I'm not alone here. Talk to me. You know, listen, silence. Silence. Lord, where are you? Silence. Now, at that point, you're tired, you're fatigued, pressure. In some of your lives, it's different. It's been needles. It's been going from place to place. It's all these things that are happening. And it's like, wait a minute. Wait. God, really? What's going on here? What? And speak. Listen, silence. And I got to tell you, it was many, many weeks. I think well into 3 weeks of saying, where are you in this? I mean, where? Just speak. And then he spoke. Not with a voice. From his word. And his word said to me, from 1 Corinthians, Jack, eye has not seen. Listen. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, what I have prepared for those who love me. Well, watch. Lord, I love you. I mean, I'm kind of embarrassed about how little I love you. I should love you a whole lot more, but I love you. And that verse announced to my heart, Jack, there is a voice, there is a way I deal, I work with my kids, that is beyond the ability for ear to hear and eye to see. And Jack, listen, Jack, I just don't live on the mountaintops. Jack, I live in the valleys. And Jack, here's the deal. If you're going to live, this is for all of us. If you're going to live, I love what Paul the Apostle said. He said, I did not first teach anything to anybody that which Christ did not first teach me. So I want you to hear this. This is for you because it's for me. Faith doesn't need sight. Faith doesn't need to hear. The soul, the psuche of us, the soul is strong, don't get me wrong. The soul is powerful. It's our thinking. The soul of who we are says, I want to feel it. Got to see it. And a lot of Christians live, by the way, like that. They're close to God if they can see and feel. Are you with me? But listen, when God in his goodness weans us off of those things to get us back to the walk of faith, faith is, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, things that are not seen. It's the evidence of things that cannot be seen. Church, listen, are you listening? Faith is, are we Christians? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Okay, then we're supposed to live by faith or else we're not living like Christians. If we're living by feelings and how close we feel to Jesus at the moment, and it's a great day because I got a goosebump, that's not faith. Oh, I just really feel, listen, I really feel the nearness of God, not faith. What did he say to you? That's faith. So look, maybe you're really close to God up here on the graph because it's really cool. And then time goes by and you're like this and you're like this. And maybe there's a crisis or something. And you come back up and you're really, and you sense the closeness of God. And then it begins to go to one another. And you live from one mountaintop experience to the next. Listen, God would have you today to take that chart, that from peak and then the month, 6 months, year, 3 years, I don't know, valley. And then there's a spike and you really feel really close to God and all is well. Take it in your mind's eye and flip it upside down. Because upside down is faith. Listen, there are times when you and I are down in the dumps and we have those lapses, okay, and we're struggling. That should be the little dip. That's when the flesh or the soul takes over and says, boo! And worry about this. Be anxious about that. And panic about the other. We all get like that. But listen, that should be a little glitch in the road, right? And then we should come right back up with that inverted graph. And we should be right here, no matter how we feel. Because faith says this. God's word says this. God told Joshua. And let's be honest. We've all read the book. Hey, Joshua, you know what? You guys are going to go into the promised land. I've given it to you. And at that promise, emotions, the flesh says, awesome, this is going to be great. Man, if it was like this on the other side, you fed us manna and all that kind of stuff, and we just had to follow you around, how cool is it going to be on the promise side? And God says, oh no, you're going to go on the promise side, you're going to cross over this Jordan onto the other side, and there's going to be wars. There's going to be battles. You're going to be uprooting a people who have been upon the land of promise, and I want you to throw them out because you're coming in, and here's the way it's going to be. Can you imagine? What if God were to tell you, I want you to stop being religious, I want you to cross over this Jordan, and I want you to go into the Christian life, and there's going to be wars, and there's going to be battles. Fill in the blank. What is your war? What is your battle? And God's word to you is this: I will never leave you or forsake you. If you're not in a battle, you don't even care about those promises. Are you cruising on Christianity? Oh yeah, God does everything I tell him to do. I don't know, man. I mean, I love you, but are you even a Christian? I mean, God doesn't operate like that. God says, you will do everything I tell you to do. If you want to live. You say, what does that mean? He's going to kill me? No, your actions will kill you. God says, follow me. I know what's up. And listen, faith says, no matter how I feel, I'm going to hang on to his promises. I'm going to grab that verse or those verses in the Bible. I'm going to print them out. I'm going to have them ironed on my forehead or whatever it takes. And I'm going to follow this promise. And then, listen, we have to deal with all of those buts in our lives. But what about this? But what about that? He said this. She said that. Forget it. God says it. God speaks his word to us. And it's true. And I say this today because the church is being completely sidelined, like never before in my observation, of that which I would call emotionally based theology. It's all about feeling, how you feel. Listen, if you're involved in that stuff, you need to run, because I want you to succeed in the day of trouble. When the day of trouble comes, it's God's promises that are going to get you through. And no matter how you feel, and you're probably going to feel pretty crummy, it's for you to grab onto them. And I am convinced, just as the woman who came following Jesus, he's ministering to people. And the woman, remember that Gentile woman, is crying out to Jesus in this announcement he's making to his disciples. And Jesus says to her what we would think is the unthinkable. He's ministering to the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And this Gentile woman who's outside the promises of God, she won't give up. And he says to her, woman, these promises are for the house of Israel. These promises are for the children of Israel. And she said, yes, yes, sir. I understand that. But the bread that you're giving to them, doesn't even little puppies in the house eat from the breadcrumbs that fall on the floor? And Jesus said, I have not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. He commended her. I challenge you this morning to grab the promises of God. I pray that you'll never be more desperate for God's promises than beginning now. I love you, but listen, we are not going to make it well into the kingdom of God if all is so smooth and so easy. We are Christians. We're not home. We are in an enemy-occupied area of life. We're not in heaven. And God is preparing us for heaven. And God prepared the children of Israel, listen, through war. He said, I will go before you. I will uproot the enemy. I have given you the land. That's what he said before they crossed over. And once they crossed over, God showed them miracles and power. But eventually Israel failed to follow God. These things, real quick, I want to just write down again from my heart, and I hope to you that it matters, that God is with us wherever we go. You say, I already know that. Well, I already knew that before as well, but I got to tell you, it means more to me now. Jack, I'm with you wherever you go. Well, what if I run? You know, it's interesting. There was a song we sang this morning about running. If we run, God's after us. If you hide, God's after you. There's no place for you to go. He's pursuing you. Listen, God says to Joshua and to the people, I'm with you wherever you go. The fact that Jesus Christ so often told us, do not be afraid, let not your heart be troubled, is the New Testament announcement of that. God is with us in our fears. We have fears. Nobody would like to admit them, but they're an attack against our life. They happen all the time. Fear is a very deliberate emotion. You got to understand something. Please agree with me. If you don't, go research this and find out and then agree with me later. Fear is the absolute climax of the rule of emotion. When emotion takes over, we get fearful. Fear arises in our hearts and our minds when we see things around us that we either cannot explain. You know, when we can't explain things, we get fearful. How come my grandchild is ill? Or how come my child is this? Or how come my husband is that? Or my wife is this? Why are all these things happening? And when we can't have something explained, we get fearful. Rather than when we have something that is out of our explanation, we should say, God, you're in this. I don't know it, but you're in this. I'm going to ask you another question. Do you consider yourself to be a person of faith? Raise your hand. Put your hands down. You know, that's a huge question. If I consider myself to be a person of faith, then from this moment on, I am going to launch an all-out attack against the deceptions of my emotions. I'm not saying emotions are bad. We can govern them beautifully, and they're wonderful. They're given by God. But when they seize the day, and then when they seize the moment, they often lead us astray. Fear is a very debilitating emotion as well when we see things around us that because we can't explain them, we have no control over them. And we begin to see, listen, fear tells me that the thing is bigger than God himself. And you know this when it's happening in our lives, when we know what the Bible says, but we've got this thing going on, and somebody says to us Bible truth, and then we counter with, I don't know. I've done tons of reading in my absence from you, and I was shocked. I didn't even know this. I thought I knew about just what could be known about Charles Spurgeon. I didn't know that. You know Charles Spurgeon? I love Charles Spurgeon. Did you know the great prince of preachers suffered from severe depression? And if you're a Christian in here today, would you admit to somebody that you suffer from depression? You're not supposed to. You're a Christian. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones out of London in the last century wrote a book, Spiritual Depression, and people got upset with the definition because he was announcing that somehow Christians surrendered to this. Before Martin Lloyd-Jones was a great, awesome preacher, he was first a renowned medical doctor in London. But he talked about how depression can be brought on by all kinds of things. But it affects the spirit side of the man, of the person. And then there's the side where the spirit side of the person affects the man. Maybe you're under spiritual attack. Have you ever been in a place where it's dark and you don't understand and what's happening? You're right with God. You're walking with God. You love the Lord, but there's no explanation to what's going on in your life. Have you ever paused for a moment to think, maybe this is a spiritual attack? By the way, many of you wrote me letters saying, Pastor Jack, hang in there. This is a spiritual attack. I've concluded this. It's all of the above. It's all of the above because I'm not going to tell you, but as time went on and as time went on and as fatigue set in and all of these things set in and then your mind begins to go somewhere and you're hanging on to the promises and it's almost as though you're hanging on to a dock or something in the ocean or at the pier on a buoy and it begins to slip out of your hands. That's a very terrifying moment, church. I do not know what people do in this life without Jesus and his promises. I do not know what they do. I will never again make fun of somebody who's a drunk or somebody who's messing with drugs. They are so broken. They are so hurting. There go I, but for the grace of God. In the midst of our despair, and when the pit seems bottomless, at just the right time, you know our God is never early. I wish he was. But he's certainly never late. At some moment he reaches in, just when you are in that dark place, and he says, I got you. I got you. I told you, Jack. You read Joshua 3 weeks ago. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And you know, you're like, but that was really scary. And you know what he says that for? He says, Jack, with what's coming in this world, how can you lead the people if you don't know what they feel? How can you tell them unless you go through this yourself? Listen, I'm your master. Is a follower, is a servant above his master? No, sir. Then what you felt in a very microscopic manner, Jack, I drank of that cup to its full. I went to the cross and I went to the grave with one thing and one thing only. What my father had said to me he would do. Can you imagine? No, actually we can't imagine. It's beyond us. Oh, he'll never leave you, Christian. And stop thinking you've got to earn that commitment from him. You can't do it. Don't raise your hand. Do you want him in your life? Don't raise your hand. Do you want him in your life? Question. Don't raise your hand. How bad do you want him in your life? Now, let me put it to you this way. You can raise your hand. How many of you are Christians again? Raise your hand. Keeping your hand up if you want to with this next question. How many of you have ever been totally, absolutely, wretchedly, wickedly lost? Well, that's impressive. I thought your hands would. I thought, that's the right answer. You can't be a Christian without being horribly, wickedly, terribly lost. You'll never know the value and the glory of his promises until you're absolutely laid out on your back. The question arises, the emotion arises, but what for? Lord, I know you love me and it's you and I forever, but can't you do this to somebody else? No, it's because he loves you and you're going to be with him forever is why he's doing it with you and why he's doing it with me. Say, come on. Listen, I don't get it either. I'm with you. I don't understand that. He never asked me to understand it. Did he? He said, trust me. Amen. I don't understand. I don't understand how a 3-year-old girl in this church is dying of a brain cancer and nobody can help her. I don't understand that. I don't understand so much of what is happening in people's lives. And you know how things are, by the way, in your life. When you are going through your thing, there's always someone else going through something worse. And their faith amazes me, you know. And if you approach it from pure human logic, you're going to be horribly frustrated. But if you realize, you know what? There is no human answer for this. Only God has the answer for this. And you know, he exercises the prerogative to answer your question or not regarding it. For me, most of the time, he's never answered my request. But he does say things like this. Jack, and you fill in your name. My grace will be sufficient for you. My strength, Jack, will be perfected. And might I add, my strength can only be perfected in you through suffering. So would you sign up to be a Christian if the invitation was Jesus is so holy and so perfect and so wonderful that when John saw him in the end of days, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And then John the Apostle saw him in the Revelation and says, I saw a lamb sitting on the throne as though it had been slain. And all heaven bowed and sang hallelujah to him. Do you realize if all of us tonight, today, were to wind up in hell, Jesus is still holy and perfect? You know that? You know, if nobody makes it to heaven, he's still perfect and holy and beautiful. Listen, he's so precious that he's worthy of our praise if he heals us or not. Look, if he heals us, awesome. That means he's got a ministry for us. Are you with me? But what we're going through, God is using to somehow, beyond my understanding, matter in eternity. I don't get it. But it's going to work out to his glory. I don't know. I don't get it. It's amazing. But listen, don't let fear rob you anymore. When fear comes in, I want you to get nasty with it. When fear comes in, I want you to get angry with it, in a holy anger. When you start fear, because listen, fear, everything's tied to fear. Worry, anxiety, all of that comes out of fear. And fear can only be present when we're not trusting the Lord. And we all go through it. How do we combat it? Search the scriptures. Get the verses that apply to your situation. I'm dead serious. I'm not going to spoon feed this to you. Get the verses. Find them in your Bible, Christian. And get them out and give them into your heart. And that's how you'll fight this. And that's how you will win this. There's no other way. Fear will destroy. We need encouragement in this battle, in this war. The second thing I want you to consider is this, and we begin to wrap this up, is that he's with us in these sufferings, because he's going to fulfill his word to us. In Psalm 119, verse 50, listen to this. David writes, this is my comfort in my affliction. Are you afflicted? Do you have an issue going on in life? Are you sick? Do you have a battle going on? David says, this is my comfort in my affliction. What is it, David? Tell me. Your word has given me life. Isn't that awesome? You say, that's so simple. Of course it's simple. The comfort in your affliction is that God's word gives life. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Are you fearful today? How do you counter it? Seek the Lord. Cry out to God. Look, you guys all know how hyper I am. You know what's awesome? When you're wiped out, you can't be hyper. And so that was, so Easter Sunday, then it was Monday. All I could do was sit at that early point of this journey and read, and I found myself, which was totally of God, I found myself, without getting up, reading his word for 3, 4, 5 hours at a time. That's not me. I usually have to run around to read his word. And you know what I experienced was a supernatural calming in the heart, in my soul, in my mind. Why? Because he was speaking love to me. It's amazing. He's amazing. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, whenever I'm afraid, I'll trust in you. That's the counter. When fear arises, trust in God. Here's the difficulty about what I'm saying to you today. It's for this to bounce off you. There might be 2 or 3 people in this building here right now at this service that's going through something and you're saying, I need this. Look, it's only through these difficulties that God's word becomes experiential to us. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. Are you tormented at all? Tormented, agitated by something. Well, how do I combat that? Focus on God's love for you. God loves you. Listen to this. Do not fear, because I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand, saith the Lord. Isaiah 41:10. How awesome is that? When you pray, God, I'm not strong. He says, I got it. God, I'm weak. I got it. I got it. God, I'm scared. I got it. I got it. You grab onto him. You hang on to him. Suffering. We go to him. Now listen, I don't know how this is going to be received, but it's only by personal suffering that Jesus Christ, who's the personal Savior, is personally revealed to you. Amen. Only by suffering. Because he's your personal Savior, you cannot know the depths of experiencing him without his personal revelation to you. That's how Paul the Apostle was to say, no. All of these things that have been attacking me and my sicknesses, and even, do you remember in Corinthians, Paul said, a messenger from Satan was even sent to me to beat me up. And Paul said, whoa, wait. I don't want to change a thing. Paul says, I would rather be in my weakness so that the power of Christ will rest upon me. So a moment ago, I asked you some questions. Are you willing then for the power of God to rest upon you? Now, don't raise your hand. Are you willing? Because God has been saying, Jack, are you willing for me, if I choose to lay upon you suffering from this time forward in your life because I want to use you more? I want to do more things. I want to use you in a certain way. It can't be done unless I lay this on you. God spoke that to my heart. Excuse me. I had to pause for a moment. You know what the first thing that came into my mind was when I paused? How much do I love you? I love you. How much? So what if God is saying to you, I love you, Susie, very much, and it's been great to this moment, but I have more for you to do. But you can't do that stuff. I can't take you to this next chapter of your life for me unless this comes upon you like it did the Apostle Paul. Really wanted to use him. He embraced what I had and trusted me for whatever I was going to dole out to him. He trusted me, and I used him to change the world. Don't raise your hand. Christian, do you want to be used by God? This is a whole new question in my life now. Jack, do you want to be used by me? Yes, sir. No, I can honestly say now. I can honestly say now. When he's asking now, do you want me to use you? It's yes. I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not even going to pause anymore because I know he loves me. Jack, I want to use you. It's the reason why you're living. I want to use you, but for you to be used, this has got to happen to you. And are you willing to do that? Yes, sir. My next prayer was this. Just don't let me gripe and complain. God, I don't want to get in the weak zone and grumble about it because I don't know I'll do it. I don't want to do it. I'm telling you up front, I don't want to do that. If I start to go down that road, God, will you slap me? I don't want to complain. The answer is yes. I'm just afraid of me bailing out. Don't let me bail on you, God. I know your grace will cover. And thank you, Lord. I know that this world is really short-lived. So let's go for it. So here's the thing. Jack, Are you willing to go through whatever I give you to take you to places or to a person, or maybe it's a radiologist, or maybe it's a school teacher, or maybe it's a congressman, it doesn't matter, or maybe it's somebody sitting in the church and they've never been able to be touched by anybody because nobody can relate to them. And are you willing for me to put this on you so you can relate to them, to give them encouragement? Can I give you what they have so that when you talk to them, the words will carry force into their soul and it will affect them deeply for the kingdom forever and rescue them from their situation? Are you willing to do that? If the angels in heaven rejoice over one person coming to Christ, you being a Christian, you all being Christians, are you willing to embrace this fire that I'm wanting to give you, that you'll carry it like a burnt offering into someone's life? Let me consume you fully so that all they can see is me. And there's nobody else that can relate to them, only I know what they're suffering, and I'm going to give that pain to you so that you can tell them, I know what it's like. Amen. That's what God has shown me, what it is to be a Christian. To take up the cross and follow Him. Where? He didn't say, take up the cross and follow me as I lay out a GPS-guided map on Google Earth. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And it would be a knucklehead to say, where? Because that's conditional. Jesus, I'll only go this far with you, and any further I will not go. Jesus would say to us, no man putting his hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom who looks back. Will you follow me in your suffering? And Paul said to the Philippians, an awesome declaration, he says that he would rather experience the sufferings of Christ that he might know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Is Jesus that precious to us? And then I end with this close. He's with us, church. He is with you all the way through to the, and I have to qualify it, end. If you're not a Christian today, you're in trouble. But if you're a Christian today, he said, I'll be with you all the way through to the end. And I have, when I said I have to qualify it, is because the Christian has no end. Right now, listen, I want you to remain in an attitude of prayer. I don't want people getting up and ditching and running out. Your car, in fact, if you're trying to get out of the sanctuary early to get out of the parking lot quicker, I pray your car does not start. We're going to pray right now because I want you to make I don't even know what to call it. Can you present yourself to Jesus? Can you just be willing? No promises, but can you just be willing to say, Lord, I'm standing here and I'm willing. And where I'm not willing, can you make me willing? Father, we come to you this morning. And you are so God. You are so life. You are everything. And Lord, I pray that for all of us, you would make us more like Moses. I remember a Moses in Exodus. When you told him and the children of Israel to go forward now. And Moses announces to the people, go forward. And how sweet it was for him to turn around and say, but God, I need to tell you something. They can go forward, but I'm not going forward without you. I mean, that is beautiful disobedience, if there ever was that. When Moses, God says to go forward, and Moses says, no, not going to do it without you. May that be our prayer today, God, that we're not going to go forward but without you. And Father, today, right now, as we close in this, Lord, I just pray right now, dear God, that you would receive from us this commissioning. Now, therefore, arise. May this church arise and go forth over their Jordan. And as a church, over our Jordan into life, to the promises which you've given us, that they'd be more sweet and dear than ever before, knowing that every place that the sole of our foot treads upon, you have given us that situation. It's ours to conquer for Jesus, that no man shall be able to stand against us all the days of our life. And just like you were with Moses, just like you were with Joshua, you'll be with us. You promised. You'll never leave us or forsake us. We can be strong and of good courage, and we get to observe all the things that you've commanded us in your word. And Heavenly Father, we pray today that you would bless us and keep us, that you'd make your face to shine upon us, be gracious unto us, to lift up your countenance upon us, and give us peace. Church, I'm going to ask you to arise, and if you can lift your hands to the Lord and make dedication to Him, that from this time forward, you devote your body, soul, and spirit totally surrendered to Him. Make this your prayer right now. This song, your prayer. In Jesus' name.